We're doing Jewish history, and we're up to the year 2928. And this is the year when King Solomon is building the temple. And we'll quickly go over how he built the temple. It's also relevant to our parasha. The building of the Mishkan was last week's parasha. This week's parasha is the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. But nonetheless, this is the season now of the building of the Mishkan. So how was the Beit HaMikdash built? Beit HaMikdash was not built on a flat land. Ordinarily, when you start building, you flatten the area, you lay foundations, and then you build. The Beit HaMikdash was purposely built on an incline, where as you approached in the Beit HaMikdash, you kept going higher. The Beit HaMikdash was 500 amma in every direction. Now that amma, as we discussed last week, was an amma that was six tefach, six hand widths, right? We brought a machloket, so he's going with the opinion that it was six hand widths, the amma, and an amma is four thumb widths. The way the Beit HaMikdash was built was that there were, under the Beit HaMikdash, there were caves, such that the Beit HaMikdash wasn't built on one flat surface, but rather it was built on arches, and this was to ensure that there was no defilement, no dead body that could cause the defilement of the temple by ensuring that there were caves. So the halacha says that when there's a corpse, so then the tumah, the defilement, goes up until there is a cavity, a space, and a roof over that space. Once it reaches that hollow space, then it gets retained in that space. If a body is buried 50 feet deep, and there's only earth above the body, earth, cement, whatever, so then the tumah penetrates all the way to the sky. But if you have a building, if you have a house, if you have some kind of cavity, some type of airspace, and another roof over that, then it holds the tumah in place. So the way they built the temple was, first they established caves, cavities, and the caves were built, let me see, the following shape. You had a cave, and then another cave. Now the problem is that the wall of the cave, if there was a corpse under the wall, then the tumah penetrated upwards. So over the two walls was another cave. So there was another space here. And so the Beit HaMikdash was really built on top of this. Two levels of caves, such that the cavity, now you might have seen that there was a famous bridge that was built this way. That for the same idea, when they did the red heifer, so they took children to draw the waters for the red heifer. Those children were raised on a special hilltop that they knew was pure. And then they took them to the stream to draw the water for the red heifer. So they wanted to make sure they weren't defiled. So they took them on two cows and then placed doors. And that way they were raised, elevated. And when they crossed a bridge from where they were situated, that bridge also was built like this, above two arches, two sets of cavities. So, what? I don't know the name of the bridge, but it's called Kifin al Gabe Kifin. Caves over caves, or arches over arches. The Beit HaMikdash was built with gates to the east, to the west, to the north, and two facing the south. Each gate was 10 amos wide, and each gate was 20 amos tall. How much is 20 amos? So, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This ceiling is about 5 amos tall. So that means each gate was about the height, if you stand outside, of the roof of this building. Very, very tall gates. 20 amos tall. And there were doors to these gates, meaning there were very big doors. Now inside the wall, you had the outer wall of the temple. Inside the wall, there was what was called the chel. Chel was a small wall. It was only 10 amos tall. And then inside that wall, you had the wall of the azara, of the actual temple courtyard. The space of the yard in between the chel, the smaller wall, and the azara was 187 amos length by 135 amos width. There were seven gates, three to the north, near the north northwest corner, three to the south, three to the east, and the ones in the east were facing exactly opposite the Holy of Holies. They were in the center, and their length and width was directly corresponding to the gates of the outer wall. Their doors were coated with gold. All the doors to the temple, when you came to the temple courtyard, were coated with gold, except for the eastern gate that was coated with a special copper. It was called Shar Elyon or Shar Nicanor. You guys heard about Nicanor? Nicanor was a non-Jewish general. Nicanor was also a Jew. But that's in the second temple. They got that name because there was a Jew who traveled to Egypt. His name was Nicanor. You guys know the story? The Mishnah says Nicanor traveled to get special doors from Egypt, from Alexandria, for the temple. And they were made of the finest copper. It looked so beautiful, it looked like gold. And when he was on his way back with the doors, so there was turbulence at sea, and the ship seemed like it would capsize. And finally they said, we have to throw things overboard. And they saw the ship was still looking like it would capsize, so they said, we have to throw a door overboard. So Nicanor saw he was going to die, so fine, he agreed to throw one door overboard. Things still went wild, and they told Nicanor, look, we don't see a way of saving the ship, we have to throw your other door overboard. So Nicanor threw himself on the door, and he said, you're going to have to throw me overboard if you're going to throw this door overboard. And when he said that, the sea subsided, and suddenly they saw they could make it, and they made it to the port. When they got to the port, so then the second door came floating out from under the ship. And when the rabbis heard of the story, they named the doors after Nicanor, who dedicated himself to the doors he imported from Alexandria, from Egypt. And even when they were wealthy enough in the temple to change all the doors in the temple to gold, they didn't change Nicanor. They said, being that he was so dedicated, his doors are the eastern doors, and they're named after him, Shar Nicanor, Nicanor's gates. In front of the Azara on the east, remember, in the temple, as you advance westward, it gets more and more holy, right? The western wall is the wall behind the Holy of Holies. But technically in the temple, we always get more holy as we go westward. So on the eastern side, you have the courtyard for the women, 135 by 135 amos. And it had four offices in its corners. One was the office of the Nazirim, the people who took a vow to refrain from wine, and that's where they'd shave their head and cook their sacrifice. Then you had the office of the wood, where Kohanim, who were blemished, a Kohen was blemished, couldn't serve on the temple, they would serve in that office, where they would check the wood, prepare the wood for the altar. Then you had the office of the Mitzorayim in the third corner. That's where the people who had Tzaras would go to prepare for their sacrifice. And finally, you had the office of oil and wine, where people could purchase the oils and wines for their offerings. They had over there a balcony where women could watch what was going on in the temple. And that's where we learn the concept of mechitza from. Because in the temple, the women had their own balcony from which they could see what was going on in the temple, and they'd have their own private section. They wouldn't. There wouldn't be a mixing of men and women. On that side of the Azara, there was a big building, but we're going to pause here, and we'll pick up here, Bezat Hashem, next time. So.
This, the,